Right now, we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in Major League Baseball and around sports every week. Brett, good to have you on as always. Where are you at now with this Mets-Dodgers series?
Guys? Hey, Booney.
Where are you at after Game 3?
Game 3, I'd rather be the Dodgers. that being said, I'm not worried. I mean, I've watched it. It's been such a crazy postseason, especially for the Dodgers. They pitched 4 shutouts in the postseason. I've never heard of that before. Anyway, first game, they do it handily against Mets. Mets come right back. Game 2, beat them 7-3. You got a good matchup tonight. Game 3, you know, yesterday wasn't very good. Bueller was good. That Mets bullpen shut him down. But Game 4 is a good matchup. Yamamoto was great on clinch day for the Dodgers in the last series. Quintana was just as good on clinch day for the Mets. So here's what I look at the Mets. They've been in playoff mode for over a month now. Comes down to that final series with Atlanta. They got to win one. They win. In one of the best games of the season, by the way. Game 1 in that doubleheader on Monday. Go to the Brewers, they win. Go to the Phillies. You know, Phillies, everybody's thinking Phillies are going to win this series. Mets win again. They're down 2-1. Everybody's worried about the Mets except for the Mets. So when they come into the clubhouse today, they're down 2-1. They know, and that Dodger team is tough. They got a lot of firepower. But the players are kind of looking at each other going, listen, guys, we've got our back against the wall all year, and look where we're at. So these players aren't panicking today at all. They feel pretty good about it right now.
Yeah, as they should, because they've done this before, to your point. One thing I do want to ask, though, all we heard was, the Dodgers don't have any pitching. Looks like they have some pitching to me. Yeah, I mean, that's what people are saying before the series. Do you think, Brett, this is more about the Dodgers' good pitching or the Mets' lack of offense through these first 3 games?
Well, I think we talk about the bullpens, and in the postseason, who were the best bullpen? Everybody was saying the Padres had.
You know, let's.
What happened? Did we lose?
We're gonna reconnect him. We'll get pumped up with Brett.
You there?
Go ahead, Brett. Let's see if we got you. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. There you go.
Padres had the best bullpen. They're eliminated. Cleveland Indians had the best bullpen. They don't look like they have the best bullpen. Dodgers, however, we're known as the best bullpen. They've been unbelievable in the postseason. Best pitching in the postseason, the Dodgers. And that's not what they were known for. With the injuries last now. Kershaw's not even a factor. But they've been pitching their butt off. They've been great.
We got to fix this here, guys. Just see if we can patch that through and we'll get back up with Brett there. Cutting out a little bit. Want to make sure we can get what he's saying. They're talking about the bullpens, obviously.
That was a theme about the Dodgers coming into the series. Dodgers don't have any pitching, and that's why the Mets. People were saying, remember, I wanted the Padres more than I wanted the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, and I really didn't care ultimately, but if you had to have me choose, give me the Padres. Everybody said, the Dodgers have no pitching. And then, of course, the Dodgers go out there and have been shutting the Mets down. I think we have Brett back.
Well, you got him. Go ahead, Boone, pick it up with the Pens. That's all good. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so I think that the Dodgers just at the right time got that, especially that bullpen. That bullpen's been money. Yamamoto, I had questions about Yamamoto. I had questions about Flaherty. Bueller last night, he went 4, but he looked better. Bueller's been really struggling, had a very un-Bueller-like coming off the Tommy John. But these guys have been better than I expected. Yamamoto comes out against the Padres in that clinch game and was as good as you can be. And was matched by Yu Darvish. He just gave up a couple home runs. The thing about this Dodger team, they've got so many weapons. Down to Teoscar, Hernandez, Muncy, who are probably 4th best on the team. And then with Mookie, Ohtani, and Freeman, it's such a loaded offense. Yeah. Great pitching. Anytime we'll shut down that offense. But I look at this Mets team. Here's the last thing you want to do. And this is just my experience as a player. These Mets players, like I said, have their back against the wall all year. They're coming to the ballpark today. They're not worried. Everybody else, they're listening. They're hearing what everybody's got to say. When they go to that clubhouse today, I always look to my skipper. My skipper's not worried. I'm not worried. And I think that's what's got to be set in that clubhouse today. And I think Mendoza will be that. He's a calming presence.
Yep. Well, then
the Braves aren't worried today. Now you go down 3-1. Some doubt starts to slip in your mind. Mm-hmm. But 2-1 as a player, these guys aren't worried about it. They're worried about winning the game today.
Yeah, and Mendoza's going to be cool. He's been that all year, so I don't doubt that. Brett Boone, BT and Sal, by the way, we'll get to the Yanks and the Guardians, of course, brother Skipper and that, and Game 3 coming up in Cleveland today, a little later, a couple hours from now, here on The Fan. You can hear it all. I agree, when the Mets get to the clubhouse today, they'll be cool, and they'll be ready to roll, because that's what they've been for a while. But I would also say, Brett, and I want your input on this, when they show up to the clubhouse, there should be a few different names in the lineup card. I do think that Mendoza needs to mix it up a little bit. Is there anything you would do different with the batting order or sitting and elevating players from reserves to starters?
Well, I think one thing you don't want to do is mix it up too much. You don't want to see like, whoa, we're panicking right now.
Yeah.
I look at Nimmo, he seems like he's kind of, you know, he's not physically, he's challenged right now. That might be a change that he might make. But I think as far as widespread changes, you don't want to do something. You don't want those players to come in and have a completely different lineup. And the guy, we're creatures of habit. You know, we're Alonso, Lindor, they're used to hitting in a certain hole in the lineup. And all of a sudden you start switching everything around too much. Those players start looking at each other going, what's going on? You know, this is game four. This is, you know, we haven't lost six or seven in a row. That's something you do when you're really getting your butt kicked during the regular season.
Yeah, okay, but Brett, hold on. Respectfully, mate, I don't mean to jump. I just want to make sure I don't lose this point. I hear you, and I would think I would usually agree with you, but this Mets team this year, they've had so many different iterations of the lineup. Hell, Vientos didn't even make the team. So it's never really been a consistent 1-9. Guys been bouncing around all year. So I don't think they would look around and say, geez, what's going on? Is this too much? Is it desperation time? I think that's who they are.
Right. Well, I just think widespread from game 3 to game 4. Yeah, if you make a little tweaks, they're used to this. They've seen guys in and out of lineup all year. So that's not going to be a big deal. I just wouldn't go complete overhaul. We got to do this, especially the main guys.
Yeah.
Keep them where they're most comfortable. I always thought about that on teams. What's important in the lineup? Well, there's certain guys that take precedence over the others. You want to make certain guys comfortable where they're hitting. And the personalities differ too. Mendoza knows these guys. He knows them individually. So he knows, well, if I move so-and-so from the 2-hole to the 4-hole, that's not going to affect him. But if I move this guy from the 5-hole to the 7-hole, he's going to go in the tank. So that's an individual thing. And the only people that know that are the guys on the ground. Mendoza, who lives with these guys for an entire season, he's going to know the personalities, who can handle it, who can't handle it. And that's how you make your decisions.
Speaking of lineups, Brett, the American League lineups, they just don't make them like they used to. I mean, is it me or the Guardians and Royals just stink?
Oh, come on, Brett. I've been hearing this for the last week, man. No credit to your brother. Come on.
Yeah, Guardians have not. This series in really good for the Yankees and Aaron Boone right now. This Cleveland ball club, I mean, they're just imploding, you know, themselves. Game one, it's just how many balls are going to go to the backstop before we make a change?
That was crazy.
God.
We catch a pop-up or we miss a pop-up in the first inning. We mishandle a ball in right field. We miss a line drive to right field. I'm talking Cleveland. And then on the Yankee side, you had a couple base running mistakes. But Aaron Judge finally hits the 2-run homer. That kind of and I'm watching as a bet. He had a sack fly early, and a sack fly nobody is excited about. But for me as a hitter, that is a confidence builder. When you're in a situation, they're pitching you tough, and you get the job done. Then he hits a 2-run homer. He's smiling. The thing about Judge, as long as you're winning, it takes a lot of pressure off. Now, if they're losing games and Aaron Judge is having the postseason that he's having, man, the light really shines on you. But as long as you're winning games, you can get by, and eventually your big guy get going. The 2-run homer, I think, could be something good for him going into tonight's game. So on the Yankee side, they're looking pretty good. And Cleveland, I would say Cleveland down 2-0. The way Cleveland's looked, the way the Yankees have looked, Cleveland's in trouble.
I think they are as well. And I wouldn't say the Yankees have looked good, though. I think the Yankees have looked okay, and they've certainly, you know, cashed in and capitalized. You know, Jazz Chisholm's been a disaster on the bases. He's missing by a foot. I mean, his approach, and I'm not a hitting coach, but he's lost. Austin Wells, I think the moment is his cleat hits dirt, it's in the box, it's 0-2. Do you drop him? Do you elevate Stanton? What little tweak do you think your brother might make, if any, with the lineup tonight or today?
Yeah, and I think that's a different scenario. A guy like Wells, who, you know, this is his kind of maiden voyage. So if he's dropped in the lineup, that's not going to be that big of a deal. Stan's been great. He's been the guy that's kind of the saving grace that when Aaron Judge hasn't been putting up Aaron Judge-type numbers in the postseason, Stan's really carried the mail for him. So, and I've always thought Stan's really the most important piece. We know what Aaron Judge is. We know what Juan Soto is. I've always thought Stanton in the middle of that lineup, just the presence of Stanton is really important because you got the two MVPs, but if Stanton's a viable threat, which he more than has been, man, he just makes that lineup more dynamic. It's great to see Rizzo come back. I didn't even know he was going to be available for the second round.
Yeah.
I see him in the lineup swinging the bat good, but what Rizzo brings is that defense, which isn't the best defense, that infield defense. You got Chisholm out of position. Torres has been real mediocre at second this year.
Yep.
But when you got a Gold Glover like a Rizzo, like I used to have with a Johnny Olerud, that first baseman, that elite first baseman really shores up that infield and puts them at ease. They don't have to be as perfect over there when you got a real good defensive first baseman. So it's great seeing Rizzo back and swinging the bat great.
You almost take it for granted. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, this Yankee team's looking good right now. And Rizzo, too, I just think his presence he has in that locker room when you got him on the field. I know I used to get to the park, and when I got my guys healthy and ready to go, especially an injury and a key guy comes back, mm-hmm. just have him out there makes a difference from a mental standpoint.
Gotcha. So Brett Boone's with us, BT and Sal on the Fan. Yankees game 3 in a couple of hours, of course, here on the Fan, home of the Yankees. So one of the great things about the Yankees, they're very good at this. They keep whatever division or differences of opinion that usually stays behind closed doors. And it's hard to do that now with social media and all the other stuff, but they're pretty good at it still. But one thing that leaked out is that there was division and debate as to who they should start in game 1. You know, do you go to Rodon? Do you go to Schmidt? Schmidt's obviously going today. Heal in game 4. It seemed like there was a strong difference of opinions. Do you know what the basis of the difference was?
I have no idea. And people think, no, I do know because you're talking to your brother. I really don't. And because I've got to do stuff like this, come on the show with you guys, I really don't like to have my cheat code and, oh, Aaron told me what's really going on in there. No, all I can say is the Rodon, and we talked about this last week, the Rodon play for me was the right play. The Rodon in game 1 was the right play for me. I just, that's what you do. I looked at Heal. I looked at the other alternatives, and Rodon was a guy for me. He came out, pitched 6 innings, gave up 1 run. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've got to roll with that. If you're going to just eliminate a Stroman or Rodon, you don't have a Nestor Cortez. If you eliminate those guys from your rotation, you say, well, I don't trust them. Well, you're going to get to a point where you don't trust anybody. Cole. You know, Cole wasn't great last night or 2 nights ago. He got out of a couple big situations. Cleveland let him off the hook a few times, and he was fine. And you got to have Cole, your number one guy, being someone you can lean on in the postseason. But if you just start eliminating guys, you go, I don't trust Rodon. Well, you're going to get to the point where you don't trust anybody. You got to throw somebody out there. It's good to see Rodon had a good game 1. And Schmidt tonight, I feel real good about Schmidt out there for some reason. I don't know.
When I love Brett. I love him.
I just like Schmidt when he's out there. And in a 7-game series, you're going to have to pitch Heal. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Heal might come out and be that dominant Heal that you saw the first half of the season. And if you're getting that Heal, guy that's got his control, is not falling behind an account every time, man, you're on to something. You got something really, really special.
BT and Sal on the Fan, talk with Brett Boone. Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by. Will the step up in competition, or how far will the step up in competition be when the Yankees get to the World Series versus what they face in the path to the World Series in the American League?
Will the step up, you mean as far as?
Well, taking on the Dodgers or the Mets as compared to the Royals and the Guardians.
Well, I think, you know, if you're going to go to Vegas, they're going to want the Dodgers, and they're Dodgers and the Yankees, and that's going to be pretty even, right? I think if the Mets are in there, well, the Yankees will probably be a pretty good favorite. I don't necessarily think that they're a favorite just because the odds say they are. The Dodgers have been, you know, I've watched them all year, and they won 90-plus games, and they won that division. Padres were closing hard at the end, and I thought the Padres were a better roster 26-26 than the Dodgers. Well, Dodgers beat them, so Dodgers can say, no, we were the better team. That's the way baseball goes. I think when you get to the World Series, you never know. If the Dodgers are playing the way and pitching the way they're pitching right now, like I said, they've had four shutouts in the postseason. I don't know if they had four shutouts all year, and all of a sudden you do it in the postseason. They're hitting all the right buttons at the right time. So I think whatever the case, whether it's the Mets or the Dodgers, and, well, the Yankees, they're looking really good, but it's not over yet. I think you've got to be cautious of that. You know, the Yankees are feeling great. They're up 2-0. Everything points to them moving on and going to the World Series, but you still got a bunch of games to play. And this Cleveland team, it's going to be interesting after a day off, time to digest this, how they come back in game three and play. I wouldn't say that's over at all right now. Looking good for the Yankees as of now. As far as getting to the World Series, I don't know. I've been in World Series. I've been on great teams that haven't played very good. And I've been on teams that were playing great and got beaten in advance of the World Series. So you never know once you get there. And I don't think it's going to be a step up or a step down. It's going to be how do they perform on the biggest stage. And that's the World Series.
You sound like your brother, for goodness sake, with that answer. The National League is better, Brett. Come on, just admit it. BT won't. I feel like Yankee fans won't. The National League has been better.
Let's go with the matchups in the postseason. Okay. Yamamoto, Bueller, Flaherty against, let's just for argument's sake, put the Yankees' best three up there. Who's better for you?
Dodgers.
Do you think Flaherty is better than Cole?
Well, I mean, Cole's had two duds out of three starts, but no, I'll give you that one.
Okay.
Yankees.
Let's go to the three hole. You take Schmidt or you take Heel.
Yep.
And I'm going to take Bueller on the dot. Who are you taking? Heel, Schmidt, or Bueller?
Well, you conveniently skip number two. You got to ask me about Rodon so I can say, give me Yamamoto.
Rodon pitched great. Let's go game two. Yamamoto, Rodon, I know who you're taking.
That's a tough call, man.
The way Yamamoto's pitched lately, I'll give you Yamamoto.
Okay.
Let's go to game three.
Or even push, yep.
let's go to game three.
Okay.
Bueller, or you pick who you want. We'll go Schmidt because Schmidt's there now. Schmidt and Bueller, who are you taking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take Bueller based on what he's done in the past and what he just did against the Mets last night.
I'm not taking Bueller. That's the first time I've seen Bueller pitch good.
By the way,
and it was four innings, by the way. Four innings, no runs.
I'll tell you.
Not like seven inning shutout.
I'll take Manaea in game one over anybody.
Ooh.
Well, I like Manaea.
Yeah. Hey, Yankees won two games. You should know better. Yankees only have two wins. It takes four to get it done. Dodgers only have two wins, Brett. It takes four to get it done.
Without a doubt. How about Quintana? Quintana with money against Suarez. And if you told me Suarez was going to pitch the way he did for Philly and Quintana's going to beat him, I'd say you're crazy. He did it. He did it. Mets beat him.
Yeah. He's slowly converting you, which is not what I want to hear, by the way. But
you match up Dodgers-Yankee.
Yep.
It's not like Dodgers by a landfall. Let's go to the bullpen. Dodgers' bullpen's been unbelievable postseason.
So's the Yanks.
With Holmes pitching the way he's pitching again?
Yep.
That Yankee bullpen looks pretty damn good.
No
doubt. Weaver's acting like he's been doing this for 10 years.
Here we go.
BT and Sal joined by manager of the Yankees, Aaron Boone, it sounds like, here on the fan.
Managers? Oh, I'll take Roberts all day.
Oh, all right. Let's get that to digital. Brett, this is bro. Hey, Brett, before you go, now, one of the great things about you, this must have been awesome growing up, you're a multi-generational baseball family, so... We don't have a lot of time for detail, but I'm just curious. What was the first World Series you actually remember watching? What year? Who was playing?
Watching. That's Pops, 1980.
Wow.
I'm in the stands, and I'm in the dugout. No, I'm not in the dugout. I'm in the clubhouse when they won.
Oh, man.
So that was the famous one where, you know, Dad went down to Pete Rose, and he popped out of his glove.
Yes.
And he caught it.
Yeah, right by the first base dugout.
You know. Back then, it's like I'm sitting with Mom in the stands, me and Aaron are like, and you know, Aaron was younger. He was 4 years younger than me, but I always let him tag along. All right, Arnie, let's go down to the clubhouse. That's where we're going to celebrate. And that final out, and then everybody came in, and then it was pandemonium. And, you know, we're 10 years old, and I'm drinking out of a keg with Dickie Knowles.
Dickie Knowles, the pitcher?
Yeah, that was the first World Series. Pete's Pete Rose's house that night. He got up in the morning, cracked a Coke, and said, let's go, Mullions. Time to go to the parade. Because back then, the parade was the next day.
Wow.
So I remember that World Series candidly pretty awesome.
That's a great story. Greg Luzinski, Schmidt, Carlton, what a bunch of names, my God.
Trio.
Matty
Schmidt,
Trio, yeah.
Boa. That's when Lonnie Smith came on the scene. Gary Maddox.
We got to play baseball card with this guy.
The good old days. You know, I don't even have to go back that far, Brett. I could just go back to, you know, Ichiro, Stan Javier, Brett Boone, Edgar Martinez, John Olerud, Mike Cameron. Right. I could go back to Kenny Lofton, Omar Vizquel, Roberto Alomar, Juan Gonzalez, Ellis Burks, Jim Tomei. Those are real freaking lineups in the American League. That was Game 5 of the ALDS in 2001. Where are those lineups in the American League, Brett?
You pulling them back in?
They're working
on
launch angles and exit velocity. That's where they are.
Oh, man.
Last one for you, Brett.
We didn't work on that. Get a good pitch, knock the crap out of it.
Yep.
Not angles I don't know.
And by the way, Brett, two strikes, nothing wrong with shorten it up a little bit, take it up the middle, go the other way, and when you strike out, you're embarrassed instead of just walking back like nothing happened like these guys.
It's really amazing. And, I don't want to sound too old, but I get texts and calls during the game. I talk to Albert Bell all the time during these playoffs. And he'll call me like, does he even have an approach to this or bat? And I'll just kind of, we've gotten away from it so much, and the data – And they always say, well, this doesn't play, and we don't bunt because of this. The numbers say this. It goes so far beyond data. Playing the game right, moving runners over, getting that runner in from third with less than two, and sometimes it's a 16-hopper to the shortstop that gets it done. Mm-hmm. But what that does is it just creates such a chemistry amongst players. When the best guy on the team, when Aaron Judge goes up there and hits a two-hop rocket, the second baseman to get that runner to third, and the next guy hits a sack fly. Man, everybody in that dugout starts watching that, and then all of a sudden, if Aaron Judge is going to do it, I'll be damned if I'm not going to do it. Now all of a sudden, you're pulling on the same end, and that 26 man on the roster, he is sure as heck going to do it if Aaron Judge is doing it and Soto's doing it. That's how you play baseball. That's how you create camaraderie. That's how the opponent looks at you and goes, "Man, these guys play the game right," and it's 1-0 before the national anthem even ends. And that is the things that don't show up in the data points. And, statistically, if we bunt, it doesn't work out. If you play the game right consistently, Edgar Martinez used to tell me that. You play the game right over the course of 162, you always come out ahead.
Yeah.
And ever since he told me that, I started playing that way. And those early 2000 Mariners teams, we played like that. And you just take the wind out of the opponent's sail by doing it like, man, these guys are going to hit a double, move the guy over, and score. Now it's 1-0, and here we go again. You start to create that. You go into cities, and people start to go, this team plays the game right. Mm-hmm. It's something you have over them. You know, you walk onto the field, and they know you're going to come get them when you're down in the seventh inning. When they're up in the seventh inning by one run, they're going to come get us. It's something that you create. And you create by playing the game right. And it, like I said, doesn't show up in the numbers, doesn't show up in the data points, but it's a mental thing that's really overlooked by the people that have taken, the analytical people that have taken over the game. I think analytics are good for a lot of things, but it doesn't show the mental side of the game, which is really important.
Amen. I've been trying to tell your brother that for years. Last one for you, Brett. Pearl Jam or Nirvana?
I'm going to go Nirvana.
That's right. A tough call. That's actually
Pearl
a tough
Jam.
Call.
Eddie Vedder used to come when I was in Seattle. He'd come down and take BP with us all the time. Got to go see him private little concerts all the time. Love Pearl Jam. But for me, just sheer music, I'm going Nirvana.
Yeah, I probably would too. I'm not into it as you are, obviously, living in Seattle. Yeah. You know, those just playing in Seattle.
Right.
That's
Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
They were big.
Yeah.
Was there.
Hey, Polly Wants a Cracker.
That big brunch movement, I loved it. But I'm going Nirvana overall.
Interesting call.
I would as well. All right, Brett, as always, it's been a pleasure. We appreciate it. Looking forward to talking to you soon.
Guys, awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Brett.
I love talking to him, too.
He's awesome,
nice addition,
dude,
to the show, having him on. That was Odyssey MLB Insider. Brett Boone, Insider Calls, presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Like how he slid in that little data applicator, slid that in there and just kept playing with Ruin.
I mean, he was saying
he
should. I'm in agreement with him.
I hear you.
It's good,
I got it.